No, I agree entirely. Yeah, it's always encouraging when we have so many words about what I'm going to speak about. It's brilliant. It's very good. So one thing remains, your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. I'm talking on God's love, essentially, today. I was going to be talking on God's hope, and then that all changed about a week ago. And it's amazing, isn't it, how that happens? Totally changed. And God does it every time. Every time I've spoke, there have been words that have confirmed it in a service beforehand, which is amazing. Last week, I don't know, some of you I know weren't here, but last week we had testimonies from Catalyst Festival we went to as a church and joined with loads of other churches. And that was fantastic to hear what God was doing, and particularly David, who spoke. And he spoke about how him and his wife, Angela, were just praising God, and God broke into their lives in an amazing way. He said they were weeping in front of God, and God changed things in their lives that had held them back for a long time and had been problems in their lives for a long time, and God just changed them. And he said we were weeping, we didn't know why, but it was a release. It just was. We didn't know, and God changed us. And it reminded me of the story that John tells of the guy that was born blind, and Jesus healed him, and the chief priest, the religious leaders of the day, were going to him and saying, asking him loads and loads of questions about it. And he just put his hands up and he just said, "I don't know. I don't know. Stop asking me so many questions. All I know is that I was blind and now I see." And that is what it is when God changes us, isn't it, sometimes? There's no explanation. There's no explanation in the sense of, It's a God that loves us, and it's a God that changes us. And that's what I love about testimonies. You can't argue with them. You can't argue with someone who's had a life that's changed, someone that stands in front of you and was blind, and they now see. People have had things in their lives changed and transformed. And I think it's so encouraging for us as a church. I love testimonies. Lives changed. And that's what God's about, isn't it? God's about changing lives. You know, when someone becomes a Christian, God doesn't say, "Great. Welcome to the family. Right, now on to the next person." He doesn't do that, does he? And I think sometimes as Christians, we might be a bit guilty of giving that impression. But what God actually says, and God's response is, "Son, daughter, I've longed for this. I've given everything for this. Now come and give me a hug. Come on, come and walk with me. I've got abundantly more than you could ask or imagine in store for you. You're gonna love it." That's God's heart to us. And that's why I love testimonies. Because testimonies demonstrate to us a God who just loves us and just continues giving to us and showing us how much he loves us. And that's what he wants to tell us this morning. And actually, before, as I was just sitting there in the worship and God was speaking to us about his love, I just said, "God, don't let me get in the way of what you want to do here." I think sometimes as a preacher, not that I'm a preacher, but when you're preaching, you sort of feel, you're conscious that you're such a blunt instrument in God's hands. And that, you know, you are standing here not wanting to get in the way of what God wants to do, which is to show us his love today. He wants us to reveal his love to us. I'm not going to speak for long. The plan was it's going to be quite short, and then we're going to celebrate some more with some worship. We're going to break bread together and we're going to pray for each other. So that's the plan. I'm just going to pray quickly. Father God, yeah, I pray that I don't get in the way of what you want to do here today. God, we want to be a people that see you and a people who are changed by you. We want to be a people, Lord, that are absolutely consumed by your love. And that as that invades every area of our lives, Lord, we're changed. Changed. Yeah, show us something more of your love today. Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our hearts to see that. Pour the love of God into our hearts this morning, this afternoon even. Amen. Paul will be pleased with that. Apparently I keep saying morning. Come on. So Psalm 44, verse 3, if you want to turn to that. It's a very short verse. Did you know that God delights in you? He is passionate about you. Did you know that? Psalm 44, verse 3 says, "For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm save them. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you delighted in them. This is a verse, this is in the Old Testament, Psalms is in the Old Testament, and this was written about God's people, the Israelites. A people that God saved and gave them good things time and time again, when they were powerless to do anything themselves. Not by their own sword did they win the land, not by their own arm. Why? Because he delighted in them. And that's the same God today, for his people today. God saves us and God gives us good things when we're powerless to do anything for ourselves. Why? Because he delights in us. God loves us. But love isn't a word or just a feeling, is it? It's love's an action, really. Love needs to be demonstrated. So I want to look at how God demonstrates his love for us. It's in lots of ways, really, but ultimately he's demonstrated his love to us in one defining action. He demonstrated his love to us in the gospel. And I want to just pause there, because I know as Christians, and as a doctor as well, I get accused of using words that people don't understand or that don't mean different things to different people. And so I was reminded of this just the other day. I was talking to my boys about nuclear explosions. And if any of you have got boys, you'll know that's a sort of common thing that comes up. They sort of use it as a measurement for things, you know, how strong is something, how many nuclear bombs would it take to blow that up and things like that. And we got onto, I don't know how we got onto it, nuclear fallout and all sorts of things. I don't know how we got on. And I started talking about Chernobyl. I don't know what I was thinking. And I started telling them about how there was a nuclear power plant that had exploded and that they had killed a lot of people, and there was the fallout that killed more, and we went on. And they were really interested in this, so I sort of exhausted my Chernobyl knowledge. And they were and then I came to the realisation that they thought that there was an actual, like, shrub, some sort of actual plant called a nuclear power plant that had exploded, and they wanted one for the garden. So I think as Christians, as I say, we say these things, we like the gospel, and it means different things to different people. People don't understand it. So I want to just spend a moment here saying exactly what we mean when we say the gospel. The gospel, actually, the word itself just means good news. So I don't know why we don't use that more. Why don't we say good news about Jesus instead of gospel? Maybe more people, I don't know. Anyway, the gospel, the good news, this is what it is. The good news is that God loves us so much that he gave his son for us. That Jesus, God's son, gave up his glory, all that he had in heaven, and became a man. And because of his great love for us, he went willingly to the cross in our place. In our place. And he took the consequences of all our sin, the punishment for our sin, which is death. He took that on himself in our place when he died on the cross. So that everyone who believes in him need never face death, never face the punishment of our sin, because he's taken it. There's no longer a price to be paid. It's been paid in full. And then he rose again and he lives. And that's the gospel. That's the good news of a God who loves us. That's what he did. John says it in the Bible much more concisely than that. He says, for God, this is John 3:16, very well known. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. God loves us so much. That's how it starts. That's how it starts. That's unbelievable, isn't it? God delights in you. God is passionate about you. That's where it all starts. God loves us so much that he gave his son that we might have eternal life. That's good news. And when you look at it, you can see quite clearly that it's all about what God has done, isn't it? It's all about what God has done. God loved us. God gave his son. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Not by your own hand. Not by your own sword. It's all about God. Why? Because he delights in us. In fact, the only thing that we have to come with is the realization that we can't do any of that for ourselves. That's the only thing we bring to it. We have to realize that we can't save ourselves, that it can't be by our own hand, and it is only by Jesus, and that Jesus is the only way. So why am I saying this? Aren't I preaching to the converted, some might say? Well, I suppose, yeah, which is good. But I'm doing it because I really believe God wants us to know, as been said this afternoon already, that he delights in us. He really, really does. He really, really loves us. How else can we explain the cross? How else can we explain that? And as Christians, having been saved by this good news, by the cross, he calls us back again and again to the cross, to this gospel, to this good news. You see, the cross was never meant to be just for salvation, just so that we're saved. It was never meant to be that. It was not for just for a conversion experience, but it was for whole life transformation. The gospel was to save us. The good news is that Jesus has saved us, but the good news is that Jesus is changing us to be like him. And the good news is that one day we will be like him, that we will join him and we will be with him for eternity. That's the whole package. What does Paul write in Romans 5? Well, he says this. He says, God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't say God demonstrated his love for us. He says God demonstrates his love. It's something that we're supposed to keep going back and back to. We don't graduate from the gospel. We don't graduate from the cross. It's always before us. It is not just the power to save, I've written here, it's the power to change. It remains both the power to convict us of our sin, and then it remains the power to change us. I want to just read a little quote here, and I am going to be wrapping up in 5 minutes or so that we can worship and so that we can seek to know God's love more and more. But a quote from John Stott, he wrote a book about cross of Christ, and a quote in that book caught me. It said, God's love must be wonderful beyond comprehension. God could quite justly have abandoned us to our fate. He could have left us alone to reap the fruit of our wrongdoing and to perish in our sins. It's what we deserve. But he didn't. Because he loved us, he came after us in Christ. He pursued us even to the desolate anguish of a cross, where he bore our sin, guilt, judgment, and death. It takes us a hard, stony heart to remain unmoved by love like that. And it's more than love. Its proper name is grace, which is love to the undeserving. He came after us in Christ. He pursued us. I love that thought, that God pursues us. He loves us too much to leave us in our sin. And he still does love us too much to leave us in our sin. He loves us too much to leave us where we are. We read John 3:16 earlier, and I just want to read the next part of that. So John 3:16 here says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. And John 3:17 goes on to say, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. God's love doesn't condemn. If you feel condemned about something in your life, that's not God's love at work in your life. God's love doesn't condemn. God's love saves. It convicts us and it saves. It shows us where we need to change, areas in our lives that need to change. And it gives us the power to change them. It's the most strange and the most beautiful thing that just sitting at the cross, parking ourselves at the cross, at the gospel, and beholding changes us. It really does. Knowing how much God loved us changes us. And that's what I want to do. I want to behold a little longer. We're going to have some worship again, 10, 15 minutes. We're going to break bread together. And then I want us to pray for each other. I want to pray that we would know that gospel of God in a deeper way. I think we Often the word gospel gets used when we talk about evangelism a lot, doesn't it? Telling people about the gospel. We don't use it so much here. Why don't we do that? If we're going through tough times, why don't we say, have you told them about the gospel? Let's tell each other about the gospel. Let's tell each other about the good news. Why don't we do that more? We should tell each other about the good news that God loves us. And that's what I want us to do today. At the back where the bread is, if you want to, come up, Mike, that'd be great. At the back where the bread is, there's some verses, just a few verses from the Bible about God's love. So if you haven't got anything to pray for someone else, grab one of those and pray that verse over them about how much God loves them. If you've got other verses, you could open a Bible at any page and there would be a verse there about how much God loves us. But if you have anything you want to pray or specifically for people, then that's good time at the when we're breaking bread and at the end. Breaking bread, there's no ritual about it. If anyone here, if you know Jesus as your Saviour, then that's for you to remember him. There's no chants that we do or words we have to say or special ways we have to eat it or anything like that. It's not a ritual. It's just remembering that, the good news of what Jesus has done, remembering Jesus and his life. So just as Mike and the guys start up, do you want this? Sorry, I've nicked your stand, haven't I? I want to just pray over us. I want to pray the prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians, actually, for the church about knowing. You alright there, Mike? Pray the prayer that Paul prayed. So it's at the end of the middle of Ephesians, Ephesians 3. And we'll worship. And I think picking up from worship before, really, that God will reveal his love to us and that love will convict us. Love will convict us of areas in our lives that need to change. Love can be painful, can't it? It cost God everything. Being touched by God's love isn't about having a nice warm feeling. Often it'll be God pointing out things in our lives that he wants to convict us of. Pointing out things in our lives that he wants to change us of. And that isn't to condemn us. That's to change us to be more like him because he loves us. Because he loves us. So this is the prayer. I just want to pray. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.